This evening we are looking at Lord's Day 22, question answer 57 together. You can find that on page 881 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Page 881, Lord's Day 22, question answer 57. I'll read the question and we can respond together with the answer. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but also my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. Now our passage this evening is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning with verse 35. So I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 35. Before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to Your Word, we ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. The powers like the working of your mighty strength which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 35. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was formed from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the son of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, as we've worked our way through the Heidelberg Catechism, we've seen that everything is anchored in comfort. It begins with the deeply personal question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And from that first answer on, the Catechism has been teaching us that our comfort, it's not found in ourselves or what we accomplish. It's not found in our own strength or in our faithfulness, but rather it's found in who we belong to. It's found in belonging body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And now this evening, the Catechism stretches that comfort just a little bit further. It takes us beyond life. Actually, it takes us beyond death to the resurrection of the body. And perhaps what's most surprising is where this comfort is found. When you hear the phrase, for example, the resurrection of the body, you probably don't immediately think of comfort. You might think of cemeteries. You might think of funerals or grief, the finality of being buried. Maybe even a distant or abstract hope, so a far in the future of resurrection someday, something that we confess in the Apostles' Creed. But it's not something that we dwell on. We say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. But how often do we stop and ask the question, well, how does that actually comfort me? How does the resurrection of the body comfort me? Now, the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism were intentional in the way that they laid it out. They framed this doctrine with the word comfort. They already knew the direction they were headed. These aren't just merely pieces of theological information about the future that's not speculating about what kind of bodies we might have. The question is asking something that's very personal for us. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? How does this truth, this promise of the resurrection, this certainty, how does that comfort you? Now, this truth is not just something that we know. It's not just for knowledge's sake. It's not merely agreeing with what is true, but this true faith is a deep-rooted assurance, a settled confidence that reaches deep down into our hearts and steadies us even in the face of death. Our only comfort in life and in death. Our only comfort in Christ our Lord. And that's what question and answer 57 is doing. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Notice the answer here. Not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ's its head. As soon as our eyes close in this life, we open them in the presence of Jesus. But also my very flesh. So now we're talking about the body. Raised by the power of Christ. It's going to be reunited with my soul. So my soul in heaven come resurrection day is united with my body that was buried, and it's made to be like Christ's glorious body. That's not abstract theology. That's hope. That's comfort. That's not just a soul that's floating around in heaven or a body that's buried in the dirt. This is our flesh, our body, raised by the power of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us as well and reunite us with our soul. So that we become like Christ. The resurrection of the body comforts us because what happened to Jesus is going to happen to us as well. And that's the truth that we're studying this evening as we first of all look at what is sown in weakness. That's our first point this evening. What's sown in weakness? Now, what kind of continuity or connection is there between our present bodies and our future resurrected bodies? Will our bodies look exactly the same? Have exactly the same characteristics, or are they going to look somewhat different, or maybe entirely different? Look at verse 35. In verse 35 through 38, when Paul spoke about the nature of our resurrected body, he gives us the example of a seed that's planted. So you have this kernel of, let's say, this small kernel of corn that's planted in the ground. Look what Paul says, verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body do they come? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So if you're thinking about planting seeds, boys and girls, you're planting a dried up seed from a plant that's already died, and that's the point that Paul is making. First the plant needs to die, and that seed needs to dry out, and then you plant it. Verse 37, what you sow is not the body that is to be. So if you want to plant a bean plant or a corn stalk, you don't actually put the corn stalk in the ground or plant the entire tomato plant. No, you plant a seed. If you want an oak tree, you don't plant an entire oak tree in the ground. You plant the acorn. And that's the point that Paul is making, that their kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain, God gives it a body as he has chosen. And to each kind of seed, its own body. Now in this example, Paul is drawing from the fact that there is a difference between what is planted in the ground and what ends up growing. Boys and girls, when you plant that corn kernel in the ground, it's small, it's yellow, and it's hard. But when that corn begins to grow, all of a sudden, you have something that's green, and it's soft, and it's full of water and moisture, and pretty soon it grows taller than you are. It's very different than that little yellow hard kernel that you planted. And that's the point that Paul is making here. The same is true for our bodies. Our bodies right now, you could say, are like that corn kernel, small and hard and yellow. But when we are raised again, they're going to be completely transformed, completely different. Just like the plant that grows is very different from the seed that you put into the ground. Verse 37, what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Now Paul, in our passage, is talking about planting seeds or sowing seeds, and then he switches, and instead of saying that the seeds grow, he says the seeds are raised. And I like the double meaning there. So when it comes to the resurrection of the dead, what is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So raising here has a double meaning in English. You can raise a crop, or you can talk about being raised to new life. And here, as Paul is talking about the resurrection and how we're given a different body, he's using the analogy of raising the plant, of planting that seed in the ground, and of it growing into something different. But what's so great about his example is that to be raised also means someone coming to life again after dying, to raise to life, to make alive again. And so his example of these seeds, you have a plant dying at the end of the season, you're taking those seeds, and then that plant is rising again the next season as you plant those seeds, and it grows a new plant, coming back to life again. Verse 39, for not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. And at this point, you might be wondering, okay, I understand the point that Paul is trying to make, but what kind of bodies are we going to have? First, we will be raised. We will be raised again with the same flesh we have now, but the quality is going to be different. It's going to be better. It's going to be glorified. For example, when Jesus rose again, he had a glorified body. It was the same body that was sacrificed for sin. The disciples could see him. They could touch him. He ate food. But it was also a different body because he could walk through walls. So just as the substance of human and animal flesh is the same but not the quality, and all the stars are the same material but differ in their brilliance and their glory, so even though we still have the semblance of our bodies, there will be a change, and a change for the better. Our bodies are going to be perfected better than they are now. And the reason that's important to emphasize is because Greek philosophy has made the point that it's better to be separated from the physical, that the spiritual is good and the physical is bad. So you have body and soul, and these are two totally separate things. And once you die, then it's good to be separated and just purely spiritual. But that's not what's being communicated here in Scripture. We were created as one being, both body and soul. That is who we are. In Genesis 2 verse 7, for example, when God created man from the dust and then breathed life into his nostrils, he became a living thing. And the emphasis within Scripture is that we are both body and soul. And what makes the curse of sin, the curse of death, so horrendous is because when we suffer the curse of sin, which is death, it rips apart who we are, separating the soul from the body. After the fall, when sin entered into the world and brought the penalty of death, we have the penalty of sin, which is tearing away the soul from the body. And this isn't a spirit versus the physical or matter in a Greek dichotomy sort of way. It's not like the body is a prison for the soul and finally it's free once you die. Rather, this is a soul is separated from the body, and at that point, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way God created us. Death is a penalty for sin. And at death, the body or flesh is ripped apart and waiting for that day of resurrection, the fulfillment of salvation and redemption. Now, to emphasize this point, I'll ask you, where do we go when we die? If you believe in Jesus, where do you go when you die? When we talk about you going home to be with Jesus, you'll be in the presence of the Lord, and that's your soul going home. Boys and girls, let's say that I had an egg in my hand. And if I asked you where that egg was, you would point to that egg in my hand. And then if I had two bowls up here and I cracked that egg, let's say we're making breakfast, and then I cracked that egg into one bowl, and then I threw the shell into another, and then I asked you, okay, where's the egg now? You would point to the bowl that has the egg in it, the yolk. Not to the bowl that has the empty shell. That's not the egg anymore. This is the egg. Well, in a similar way, death separates our body from our soul. The body is just the shell. That's what's buried in the ground. Where are you? You go to be with Jesus in heaven. That's where you are, your soul. At funerals, we say things like, well, this isn't Grandpa. This is just his body. It's his earthly tent, his shell. Where's Grandpa? Well, Grandpa's at home with Jesus. And in this way, after death, we are a person without a body. A disembodied person or soul who goes at once to be with Jesus when we die. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And while Paul says that this is better, I desire to depart and be with the Lord, but rather stay here in the body if that means continued work. Us without bodies in Christ's present, if that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not to be separated from our body anymore, but reunited with our resurrected and glorified bodies. The saints in heaven ask, how long, Lord, until that day of resurrection? And so in that way, to focus on your body, you're going to see this body again. You're going to see it resurrected. You're going to see it glorified. You're going to see it perfected. Wayne Grudem explains it like this. When Christ redeemed us, he did not just redeem our spirits or souls. He redeemed us as whole persons. And this included the redemption of our bodies. Therefore, the application of Christ's work of redemption to us will not be complete until our bodies are entirely set free from the effects of the fall and brought to the state of perfection for which God created them. In fact, the redemption of our bodies will only occur when Christ returns and raises our bodies from the dead. Scripture clearly teaches us that God will raise our mortal bodies from the grave, just like he raised Jesus' body from the grave. And even though we may not understand exactly how God is going to accomplish that, we still believe it. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And that understanding the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead affects the way we handle death, no matter what stage of life that happens at. Your soul goes immediately to be with the Lord, and the body is going to be raised again. The body is not just a corpse that needs to be disposed of properly. It's a body that someday is going to rise again. The body and the soul are part of who this person is. You're going to see this body again, and it's going to be glorified. We say that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. But how does that impact our practice and our belief? Well, one example is as Christianity took hold in Europe, people started burying the body instead of burning it, like they did when they were pagans, in a pagan style. And that was a statement of belief for them, a statement of faith. We believe in the resurrection of the body, just like Jesus was buried and rose again. And we bury our body because it's going to rise again. And it pointed to the fact that the body wasn't just something to throw away or dispose of, but rather something that's going to be raised again in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that is first of all sown in weakness. And secondly, as we continue, it is raised in power. That's our second point this evening, as we look at how our bodies are raised in power, believe in the resurrection of the body. Now, what is this resurrected body going to look like? Well, verse 51 points to the similarities and the differences between our bodies right now and our resurrected and glorified bodies. Those who are still alive when Christ returns, Paul says, are going to be changed. So from that we learn that our bodies are going to be different than they are right now. We're going to be changed, but Paul's not saying that our bodies are replaced. We will not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. So after Jesus rose again, the body that he had, it was flesh and bones. You could see it, you could touch it, he ate fish. But like I mentioned earlier, he also walked through walls. And so it's a different body, a very different body. And at times, if you think about when Christ would appear after his resurrection, people didn't recognize him right away. I imagine that it was kind of like maybe seeing someone you haven't seen for quite a few years. You run into someone from high school years later, and you don't recognize them at first. Maybe they've lost a little bit of hair, or their hair has changed colors, or they've put on some weight, and you don't recognize them right away. But then you do. After you start talking to this individual, you recognize them. When it comes down to it, our physical appearance is different than it was 10 or 20 years ago. And that's because of sin. It's because of the fall. That's probably aging is probably a difference that's not a good difference. But when it comes to the difference of resurrection and glorification, that's going to be a difference, a change in a good way, of undoing the effects of the fall, undoing the effects of the sin. Look at how Paul puts it. Verse 42 and through 45, Paul is contrasting our present body with our future body. What do our bodies experience now? In the present, they're perishable. We're dying. We're experiencing dishonor, weakness. These bodies right here and right now are natural. They're of the first Adam, of the dust of the earth. Verse 50 says they're perishable. They're mortal. And what will our bodies experience, or what are they going to be like in the future after the resurrection? Same verses, verses 42 through 54. They're going to be imperishable. Glory and power are words that are used to describe them. They're going to be spiritual. Instead of like Adam, we're going to be like Jesus. Imperishable. Immortal. Oh, and Paul in our passage says that the body that is raised as a spiritual body, verse 44, to say that our body is going to be spiritual doesn't mean that it's not going to be physical, but rather it's going to be spiritual in the sense of being just like Christ's body. It is going to be consistent with the character and activity of the Holy Spirit. Our resurrected body will be the very same body which we have right now. Not other bodies or different bodies created by God, but these bodies just perfected and glorified, thankfully. Now, what are our resurrected bodies going to be like? Even though this is a mystery, we're still given glimpses of what our glorified bodies are going to be like. One glimpse is that they're going to be imperishable, which means that they're not going to wear out or grow old or even be subject to any kind of sickness or disease. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be strong. We're not going to be in the process of aging and dying. We're not going to be suffering the effects of the fall. Right now, we're in the gradual process of aging and the gradual process of dying. That's part of the process by which our bodies are subject to corruption, perishable, dishonor, weakness, natural. There's another wrinkle, another age spot, little less hair, aching joints. I'm just tired and exhausted all the time. It's sin. I'm getting older, and that's because of the fall. In contrast to that, our resurrected bodies will be imperishable. No aging, getting older or dying, no disease or injury. All will be made perfect. Our resurrected bodies will show the fulfillment of God's perfect wisdom in creating us as human beings, who are the pinnacle of His creation. His image bearers, bearing His image, His likeness, humanity as God intended it to be, without sin or the consequences of sin. In contrast to dishonor is glory. Now, what does that mean exactly if our bodies are connected or associated with glory? Well, glory is frequently used in Scripture to describe the bright and shining radiance that surrounds God's presence Himself. So is there going to be a kind of brightness or radiance surrounding our bodies? Well, maybe. We'll have to wait and find out. We have hints of this in the Transfiguration. Matthew 17, verse 2, there was a bright light, and Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So in contrast to the weakness that we experience now, our new bodies will be raised in power. Not only free from disease and aging, but also full of strength and power. Just like God intended human beings to have when he created them. This is the body that is sown natural, sown in weakness and raised in power. How does the resurrection of the body in that way comfort you as we conclude this evening? Not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ's its head, there's a comfort that we experience as we face death. That we will be with Jesus. That not even death itself can separate us from Christ. That's our only comfort in life and in death, that we belong to him. But it doesn't end there. But my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. The hope we have, the comfort that we have in life and in death is that we belong to Christ. And someday, he will make our resurrected bodies just like his glorious body. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you thanking you for the comfort that is ours in life and the comfort that is ours in death. We don't often think about the resurrection of the body being a comfort. But Lord, we're so thankful to know that as soon as our eyes close in this life, they'll be opened in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Our soul will be taken immediately to Christ, our head. And our flesh will be raised by the power of Christ and reunited with our soul and made like Christ's glorious body. Lord, we thank you for this hope. We thank you for this comfort, for all that is ours in Christ. And it's our prayer that we'll live each day in light of this comfort for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.